Guitarist Sean Sheba and tenor Ben Johnson start their Music Network tour tomorrow in Waterford. They came in for a Studio 8 session earlier and they started with a folk song called Nightingale.
One morning in May, I spied a fair couple all on the highway, and one was a lady so bright and so fair, the other was a soldier, a brave volunteer. Good morning, good morning, good morning to thee. Now where are you going, my pretty lady? I'm going to travel to the banks of the sea, to see the waters gliding, hear the nightingale sing. They hadn't been there but an hour or two, till out of his knapsack his fiddle he drew, the tune that he played caused the valleys to ring. Oh, hearken, says the lady, how the nightingale sings. Pretty lady, pretty lady, 'tis time to give o'er. Ah, no, pretty soldier, please play one tune more. I'd rather hear your fiddle one touch of the string than see the waters gliding, hear the nightingale sing. Pretty soldier, pretty soldier, will you marry me? Oh no, pretty lady, that never can be. I've a wife back in London and children twice three, two wives in the armies, too many for me.
The Nightingale folk song there, performed for us by vocalist Ben Johnson and guitarist Sean Sheba, who are starting on their Music Network tour in Waterford tomorrow evening, and they're with us in Studio 8 for a little chat today. I suppose folk song, guitar and voice, it seems like the most obvious pairing in the world in some ways, Ben. Is it hard to find, though, actual material from art song and from that repertoire that is arranged in that way?
It is hard to find, and the repertoire is limited. Obviously, there are some people who pioneered it a bit in the 20th century, like Benjamin Britten, but with these folk songs, the Nightingale in particular, we had to sort of go digging, and that was part of the fun. We went to find new things and find new arrangements that we could use. So that was an interesting thing for us to do.
And in terms of the guitar, it's very much in an accompanying role here. Although within the performance, within the tour itself, you are performing a Bach suite at one point. Again, rearranged, I presume. Was it written for lute originally, and then you transferred it to guitar? Or what way is that one, Sean?
So originally, what we refer to as the lute suites were thought of as being for some kind of arch lute, whereas after a little bit of scholarship, we realized that they were not for The lute, the plucked string, similar to the guitar. It's for the Lauten work, which is a lute harpsichord hybrid.
Right.
So it's essentially a keyboard instrument. And as the suite that I'm going to play demonstrates, it explores an ambitus that is, in Bachian terms, enormous. It's not something that you could really explore with any degree of, you know, ease on the lute. It's definitely, with all the voicing and the flowing rapid textures in the bass, it's definitely
quite a difficult transfer then to guitar. You have your work cut out for you in that suite.
Bach is always difficult, yeah. I mean, I'd say that in comparison to the suite 997, it's probably slightly easier. The 997, it's just every bar has so many points of struggle, whereas there's a little bit more respite in 996. It's more of a practical.
I was going to say, this one's 996, so he practiced making it difficult in 996 and then got making it difficult perfect when it came to 997.
Well, that's exactly what happened. Yeah.
I see you nodding when Sean says that Bach is difficult, but of course, Ben, when Sean is playing the Bach, which is immediately after the interval in the concert, you'd be sitting backstage having a little rest. Did you not feel obliged at some point then that you should have had an a cappella suite or something like that to give Sean his break?
No. No one wants to hear me without Sean.
I suppose what you're looking at, when I look at the way the programme is laid out, you basically start back in the 16th century with John Dowland, and you bring us on a chronological tour through guitar and voice.
Absolutely.
Does it change a lot in that period, or what kind of, did you get some sort of overarching story of how the two instruments sit together, voice and guitar?
It's interesting. I mean, the musical languages change depending on which country you're in and which part of which century you're in, of course. That, for me, is something I enjoy observing, seeing how the German is different from the English and then the Italian is different again. What's interesting about when you get to the 20th century repertoire, which is in English in this recital, is how it looks back to the 15th century, to the Elizabethan, particularly the Walton. He looks back and invents sort of his own 20th century style lute songs, but for guitar and voice.
So the Walton, it's a suite called Anon in Love.
Yes, exactly. It's all based on texts that the Elizabethan lutenists would have set as well.
Yeah, so the are the anonymous texts? Is that why he's referring to anonymous?
They
but they're all about love.
They're all about love, and he just writes his versions, and they're similar. You know, they're all miniature. They're all there's 5-6 of them. It's nice that he nods back to the tradition.
Was there ever, I don't know if you're a singer or not, Sean, but was there ever a question in your mind that you might actually play and sing, or indeed in your case, Ben, that you might learn the guitar to the point, or an instrument to the point where you could actually accompany yourself? I mean, because I suppose that may have been how the songs were done originally by
a
lutenist, you know?
Yeah, it was definitely a practice of time, yeah.
Yeah, but never a consideration for you.
I think Ben would hit me if I started singing. Yeah.
Well, and the nature of the playing that you do, Sean, I mean, obviously in this situation, it's songs and it's an accompanying role apart from the suite. And indeed, there's a contemporary piece as well, isn't there, from Brian Bulger?
Yep.
A commission where it's predominantly the guitar. There is some voice in there, but it's predominantly the guitar. I mean, is this the style of music that you saw yourself heading towards? An art style of playing guitar music rather than going down the rock and roll route, or indeed the jazz route, because the guitar, I suppose more so than other instruments, has a kind of a vast range of genres where it's used, isn't it?
Yeah, arguably. I mean, it's the voice has got just as vast a range of
songs. There are jazz songs. There are rock and roll songs.
I was never particularly was I drawn to classical. You know, it's funny. I don't know. I feel that, you know, when I was growing up, my father was like, oh, you know, check out this guy called Frank Zappa and Sun Ra, and I was like a 6 year old, and I suppose that was me, you know, shirking. My father is, you know...
Was that a bit of reverse psychology on his part, do you think?
I don't think he was really interested in me playing classical masters, but it's what I ended up in doing.
Yeah, so...
And, you know, he's come around to it, of course.
Did it despite your father.
Right.
The
my
second
radical act, Bach.
Exactly, yeah. The second song that you're going to sing for us is Schubert. And, of course, you think of Schubert, you're going to have immediately, I think most people think of piano and voice.
Mm.
But this arrangement, interestingly, is by a contemporary of Schubert's.
Yes.
For guitar and voice.
Yeah, and I think they came out of Paris when Schubert's songs started getting published there, probably just after Schubert died. I think, maybe, I can't remember. But I think because Schubert died, of course, in 1827.
You're right, these are like around 1830s.
Yeah, and
a little bit later.
So as Schubert's music started to get more distributed in Europe after his death, this chap, Napoleon Coste, picked up on them and started arranging them straight away.
And we're here, we're in Death in the Maiden territory, are we, with this song?
Well, no, we have that song. We've chosen a few random ones, but the one I think we're going to perform now is from Schubert's last cycle, Schwangengesang, and it's Das Fischermädchen.
Oh, the swan song, cycle.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And the Fischermaiden, is she a happy Fischermaiden?
She is, and it's, I was saying to Sean, I mean, Heine's poetry is often... it's often not very happy, and the rest of the settings are about sort of how love's kind of all gone wrong. But this is a jolly one.
In the case of the fishermen, yeah, things end up well.
It won't end up well, but at the moment, it's nice.
It's okay.
Yes, yes.
This part of the cycle. Yeah,
it never ends up well for Heine, so...
All right. Okay. Let's have a listen then. An arrangement for guitar and voice of Das Fischermädchen, The Fishermaiden, by Franz Schubert.
Den kann aus Land. Komm zu mir und setze dich nieder, wir kosen Hand in Hand. Komm zu mir und setze dich nieder, wir kosen Hand in Hand, wir kosen Hand in Hand. Dein Köpfchen und fürchte dich nicht zu sehr. Vertraust du dich doch sorglos täglich dem wilden Meer? Vertraust du dich doch sorglos täglich dem wilden Meer? Täglich dem wilden Meer? Ist ganz die Meere, hat Sturm und Ebb und Flut. Und manche schöne Perle in seine Tiefe ruht. Und manche schöne Perle in seine Tiefe ruht. In seine Tiefe ruht.
Guitarist Sean Sheba, tenor Ben Johnson with Schubert's The Fishermaiden. They start their Music Network tour at the Edmund Rice Chapel in Waterford tomorrow night. They're in Tralee, Dublin at the Royal College of Physicians, the Parade Tower in Kilkenny, All Saints Church, Castle Connell, and in Clifton at the Station House Theatre over the weekend and the coming week. Musicnetwork.ie will get you all of the details there. That's our lot for this evening.